Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hey, how are you? Good morning. Oh, there
good
you
morning.
Are.
Good morning, how are you?
Good.
It's new and exciting.
New Jersey, New York, New Mexico. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So how's it going? I started a team class. It's like one of these circuit classes where, you know, you see, you do the ropes, you do, you know, all kinds of stuff, and it's like kicking my butt. Today was the third day, so you got to do it tired, you got to do it sore, but you just got to do it. So,
you're doing those big heavy ropes?
Yeah, doing, it's like they change it up every day. You know, you're doing ropes, you're doing, you know, all kinds of exercise, circuits.
But yeah.
In a team, so you, a lot of times, like, so Carol and I are doing it together, and she's been doing it. She started last week. I just started on Monday. And I'm like, oh my God, got to get back into shape. Got to get the lungs and the legs, you know?
So, what other exercises are they having you do?
A lot of core work, a lot of planks. You know, we did like, you know, let's say 4 minutes of planks, but doing different things. You're always moving. You know, you hold the plank and then you're doing side planks and then you're doing, you know, mountain climber planks. You're doing, you know, scissor planks. Pikes, all kinds of stuff. And they got you running, they got you doing suicides, they got you doing what I call slurpees.
Slurpees?
Instead of burpees.
Is that, like a burpee, except
you're slurping through it. Yeah. So all kinds of stuff. Rowing, there's, you know, rowing with bands, rowing on machines. All kinds of stuff. I mean, it's just going on. You're doing pressing, maybe these like log things with handles, and you're going up and down. So
yeah,
it's good. A lot of with medicine balls.
It's not CrossFit, right?
No, it's like they don't call it CrossFit. It's like more of a circuit. They call it a team. So I don't know what the, you know.
And you're not going for speed. You're not trying to do like 50 really fast.
No. It's like, you know, it's like a combination of doing like HIIT, you know, CrossFit, all kinds of stuff. So with the gym that we're going to, they sort of try to keep everything separate. So they're just trying to put it in its own box because it's a newer program for them.
Yeah.
So they're just calling it team, and it's, you know, it's done in a very specific section, and you're doing a lot of work with medicine balls.
How many people are on the team?
What's that?
How many people on the team?
Well, the class is probably about a dozen people.
So how many days a week are you doing it?
I'm going to try to do it 5 days, Monday through Friday. So today was the third day, so it was good. So I went from just doing walking and stuff. I mean, I used to weight train years ago, but it's been a while, you know?
Yeah.
I was a runner in high school. I used to do 10Ks every weekend, especially in the fall. I was a long-distance runner. I played soccer. But life happens, you know?
You gotta get back.
Life happens. And then you're like, oh, I could do this. And then you're like, you get 60-year-old women that are lapping you. And you're like, oh, shit, I gotta get up to speed here. You know, so a lot of times we're running with medicine balls. We're doing the slam thing with the medicine ball. We're tossing it, you know. So it's pretty cool. So how about you? What are your highlights this week? What wins did you have? Let's share some wins.
Didn't sell any machines this week, but had some good progress with one of my buddies, Jude. He's a fireman on my team, and I think we're gonna sell his first machine together. So I'm gonna close him today. He sounds really excited, him and his wife. So that was a good one. And then there's an entrepreneur named Ashley Han, and I met her at my Friday group, and she has a company called Active Wisdoms Corporation, and they do a lot of sustainable products, and she's in her 20s and she's super ambitious, and we're getting together this either today or tomorrow. She has to get back to me, but I'm going up to LA to see her place and show her the demo. So she's excited about what I've sort of, you know, teased her with what we have.
Oh, good.
I think it's going to be a great fit for what she, you know, her kind of her mission.
No, that sounds good. So that's good. Those are good wins.
Yeah.
What about the guy that you met at the tennis pro at Costco?
Yeah, he's looking at the information. I've sent him two videos and we've done a demo, and it sounds like he's going to really, it sounds like he might actually buy a machine right away. So it's progressing along. So that's good.
Oh, good. That's good. Those are good wins. Those are good wins.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, there's a good energy.
Good energy. It's just flowing. It's flowing. So that's good. So, so last week we looked at the second stumbling block. So the first is, you know, that sense of deserving. So the second stumbling block is the sense of lack or limitation. So we turn that stumbling block into a stepping stone, right? So changing that perception of that and say, okay, you know, if the lights don't come on, if I flip the switch, it doesn't mean that God doesn't want me to have light. It just means that there's a circuitry problem. There's an awareness problem, and I need to just change my perception of that. And you know, being grateful, gratitude, that feeds into that. So the same thing, and I've been teaching a lot of people this, because this, you know, Mary really hammered that with us. It's like that holding that state of gratitude, holding that, because that's the vibration of our vision. It's the vibration of abundance. It's the vibration of love. It's the vibration of God, really. So if we can hold that state while we're doing our work, while we're doing our vision work, our imagination, we're doing, you know, sourcing the Holy Spirit. What's the next step that I can do? That just really brings it alive. Hold on a second. I have to put my phone on do not disturb. There we go. And certainly staying focused on that changes that perception of lack, because by always focusing in on that abundance, then that perception of lack really changes. So
she really hammers you guys on focusing on abundance.
That's on state, on holding state.
State.
Yeah, that vibration. Because, like, for instance, a friend of mine, she's going through another coaching program with a minister, one of her ministers, her pastors. And she said, all right, when you first wake up in the morning, you know, invite the Holy Spirit in to guide you. And, you know, and ask the Holy Spirit what, you know, to bless you and help you throughout the day. So I said, well, that's good. So let's take one step before that. Because what happens if you had a dream where somebody's chasing you, or it's a stressful dream, or something is going on, and you wake up a little bit stressed? If you ask the Holy Spirit from that state, then you're just going to get more of the same. Right, you're going to attract that same vibration toward you. And I said, okay, well, the first you have to be in that state of abundance. No matter what happened in your dreams, no matter how the night was, if you slept well, you didn't sleep well, you have to be in that state of abundance first. The state of love, abundance, you know, so that you start at that vibration. Because like attracts like. So if you're coming at it and you're vibrating at a frequency that, you know, if you're stressed or worried about something, or if you're doubtful about something, you're just going to get more of the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why she said it's like the most important thing is you have to start from state. You have to start from that. So no matter what you know, if you're going into prayer, you're going into church, you're going into wherever, You have to come at it from that state. And, you know, we talked about shifting state, getting into your vision. So when those paradigms come up, that's why we say that when you pause, you take a deep breath, and one of the best things to do is focus on the vision. Change your focus of lack, limitation, or doubt, or worry, whatever is coming up, and you focus on the vision. So it's a way of recoding. To getting into that vibration. So, okay, you know, I can come at this a different way. I can approach it differently. There was one, Bob Proctor teaches this. He said, if there's something that you're dealing with right now, let's say it's a challenge, you're trying to find a solution for, write it all out on a sheet of paper, all the details, write it all out and say, this is, you know, this is what I'm facing. This is what I'm trying to figure out. And then have a table. Let's say it's your dining room or kitchen table and the table's all clear. You sit down and you put that sheet of paper in the middle of the table. And then you sit and you meditate. You know, you get into state, you meditate and said, okay, you know, what's one way I can approach this? How can I approach this? What's the solution here? How can I achieve whatever I'm trying to achieve? And you just, you sit and you meditate on it and you're quiet. And let's say you don't really get a clear picture. So then what you do is you get up from that chair and you go to another chair in the table. You leave the paper. You don't change the paper. The paper stays where it is. The problem didn't change. The challenge didn't change. The thing you want didn't change. But now you're sitting at a different chair at the table. And now you change your, you physically got up and you change your perception, your angle of vision. And then you sit down and you do the same thing. He said, it's very powerful when you do that. When you change the way, I mean, even Wayne Dyer says, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. It starts to shift the perception. It's interesting because I remember when I was a kid, you know, let's say I woke up in the middle of the night or woke up early in the morning and I just came out of a dream and I loved that dream and I wanted to go back into that space, that dream again. I wouldn't move the pillow. I wouldn't move the blankets. I would like try to get my body in the same exact position again, right? So that I go back into that dream. But let's say I woke up and the dream wasn't so great. I didn't enjoy that dream. I want to change it. I would change the pillows, change my position, shift myself in the bed. Because by doing that, I'm like, well, I'm not going back into that. I'm shifting. I'm going into something else. I did that as a kid. I remember doing that. And it was pretty cool. You know, because sometimes you wake up from those dreams. I'm like, oh, I don't want to wake up. That was so cool. I want to go back in there again. So go right back in the same position, you know? So, or just the opposite. Change that perception of it. That's pretty cool. So did anything come up this week? Did any paradigms of the lack or the deserving or anything like that pop up for you?
No, not this week.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And so this week, again, we were focusing on, so right now, so phase two, we're in the gap, right? So these are the things that come up. So this week was all about forgiveness. And actually, next week's lesson will be about forgiveness too, but it's coming at it a different way.
What's phase one called?
Phase one is blueprinting. So that was creating your vision, blueprinting, putting all those details in it. And I actually, you know, at some point today, I also want to go over your vision with you. Have you been visiting it every day, reading it, keeping it fresh, adding
almost
to
every
it?
Day.
Almost every day. Expanding. Are you putting it in your calendar, man?
I must confess it's not in my calendar. I really need to pick a time of day that works so I can be consistent.
Yeah. Well, it's like going to the gym. It's like, you know, working out. It's like, you know, anything, praying. It's a muscle. It's a muscle that we work. So, all right. So this week, so a lot of these things, so phase two is we're in the gap now, right? So blueprinting, this is the vision that we want. We're listening to our longing and discontent. We blueprinted what we really love. And now we're bridging that gap. And in the gap, when we're in the gap, that's when these things come up. You know, the feelings of deserving or lack of deserving, the feelings of deserving, lack. And what comes up is forgiveness. So forgiveness is really for ourselves. It's a daily practice. It's a spiritual practice. Because if you're planting seeds in fertile soil, but the soil has got some toxins in it, your seed is not going to grow, no matter how much you nurture it. right? No matter how much sunshine, how much water, how much love you pour into it, you've got this part of your mind, this fertile ground that's got these toxins in it. And that is holding energy, because to hold unforgiveness is really sapping your energy. It's pulling away from you and your ability to be creative, your ability to expand and express. And so that's why it's a spiritual process. And everybody, you know, and they say, if you're breathing, you need to forgive. And it's a daily process. It's like, well, how often do I need to forgive? Well, what did Jesus say about forgiveness? You know, the disciples ask him, well, you know, how often do I have to forgive this guy? 7 times? And what did Jesus say?
70 times 7.
Seven, yeah, 70 times 7. So it's a daily thing. You do it over and over and over again. It's like, you know, a little kid says, well, how often do I have to brush my teeth? You got to brush your teeth twice a day. Well, how often? For the rest of your life. So it is a daily practice to get those toxins out. And it's for ourselves. So instead of, you know, I mean, there's many analogies, right? It's like the one that always comes to mind is like, it's like we're taking a daily dose of poison, or at least every time this feeling comes up, we're taking a dose of poison, hoping the other person dies, right? Or holding a hot coal, you know, hoping the other person gets burned. Or, you know, we're putting this person in a jail in our mind, but it's taken all this energy as the jailer, it's taking all this energy to jail them, and then they're not really jailed, it's only jailed in our mind. And so forgiveness or unforgiveness holds, it just consumes so much of our energy. So that's why this week, you know, just a lesson by itself. Actually, next week we're going to talk about forgiveness too. So it's 2 lessons on this. It's so important. I've met so many people that hold grudges and they hold resentments and and it just saps their energy and it just prevents them from moving forward. So if we really want to create and grow from our hearts, we need to release that part of us. That doesn't mean that we condone their behavior, right? There's a lot of bad things that happen to us, let's say, and there's a lot of bad things that happen in the world. It doesn't mean we condone it. Doesn't mean we're their doormat. Doesn't mean that we have to be in their presence so it can happen again. But one of the strong things that I learned going through this, and it's hard sometimes, is to separate the being from the behavior. Because we're all spiritual beings. We're all, you know, and our spirit, our spiritual DNA is perfect. But it's the human side of us that where the behavior, the unskilled behavior comes out, that we struggle with. That's the part that hurts us, right? So by separating that and understanding that there's a separation there, separate this luminous light being, this spiritual being from the behavior itself. You're not condoning it. You're not saying it's good or it's you know, it's you're signing off on it. It's just a way for us to heal and to move on. There was one there was a Buddhist story that comes to mind where it was there was a master walking with one of his pupils, one of his students. And there had been a heavy, heavy rain and there was mud and the roads were all just mud and, you know, it was hard to cross them. And there was this woman that was trying to cross and she couldn't get from one side to the other. And the Buddhists, the monks, they can't touch, the males can't touch women. It was part of their practice. And so the master comes along, sees this woman struggling. He picks her up, carries her across, puts her down on the other side and walks back across. And the student just astonished. He's shocked. He's like, you know, master just touched a woman. Not only just touched her, but picked her up. And so they continue on their silent march. A couple hours go by and the student just, it's like, he's going over and over in his head. He's like, what did I just witness? You know, I don't understand this. And finally he couldn't hold it anymore. And he says to the master, master, you touched that woman. You not only touched her, you picked her up. He said, we're not allowed to do that. And the master says to him, but I put her down. Why haven't you? So the lesson there is like, you gotta forgive. You gotta let go. You know, we carry a lot of stuff. And I see a lot of people that carry a lot of stuff. And I know growing up, I saw it in my family. It's like, you know, sisters didn't talk to each other and uncles. And it's like, guys, you know, this is childish. It's in some level, it's childish, but some level, it's just like, you know, you just got to put it down. You can't carry that with you. You're wasting all this energy. So it's pretty, that's why forgiveness is such a big lesson. And, you know, it's an ongoing spiritual practice, ongoing lesson that we all need to do every single day. It's like bathing. So with the exercises that you went through this week, were there times, I mean, there's always times, everybody, if you're breathing, you got, you know, you felt betrayed or you felt let down or you forget, you know. So those times in your life, did you recall any of those or?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like you bring them up because I can remember you bring them up and all of a sudden, boom, it's like instant, right? That energy's right there. It's like, oh, that son of a bitch, you know, that, you know, whatever. So how were those exercises for you this week? Notice what you're noticing when you go through that.
Some of it's a little painful.
Yeah. Yeah. Painful, sad, right?
Yeah.
You bring up feelings of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if we could separate the behavior from the person and just change our perception of it, you know, not buying into it, you know, not condoning it, but just changing our approach to it,
mm-hmm.
will release a lot. It just lightens that load. It really does. It's like putting that woman down on the other side of that muddy stream or the muddy road. It just lightens it. And it's like, okay, I can breathe now. I feel that restriction lifting. It's not always easy. And it could take years. It could take years for, you know, in that one particular person, it could take years. But it's something we do every day. It's something that it's a practice. And we notice what we're noticing and we're not perfect. And when it comes up, it could, you know, you say, all right, I'm noticing what I notice. You know, let's just try to change that perception of it. So it doesn't have that same pull on us. They say that, you ever hear of the Course in Miracles? You know, it was a spiritual study. It was actually downloaded. I forget the woman's name who wrote it. It was actually a man and a woman who wrote it. But it was actually a download. They said it was a download. And they say that every act is either an expression of love or a call for love, regardless of how unskillful it may seem. So even if somebody is acting unskillfully in the moment, it's either an expression of love or a call for love. So obviously, if they do something that you see as harmful to you, then that's a call for love, you know. So if we put it in that context, you know, we step back and see it for what it is and say, okay, you know, what's going on here? You know, changing that perception. So compassion is the beginning of forgiveness. You know, like in the lesson, she talked about the Dalai Lama. You know, we have our friends and then we have our sacred friends. And the sacred friends they cause us to grow, our hearts to grow. And those are the ones that are most painful. I remember there was years ago, you remember in this, it was interesting because I had been at this hotel. It was in Mumbai in India. And there had been some kind of terrorist or somebody that attacked the hotel and they took people hostage. I forget how many years ago it was, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe longer. And it didn't end well. And there were people that were killed, you know, tourists that were there that were killed. There was gunfire and all this stuff. And there was one particular woman, and I don't remember what her faith was, but both her son and her husband were killed in that event. And the journalists were just shocked because they went like looking around because they're always looking for, you know, that that tragedy story, and they're trying to, you know, make it all sensationalized. And she was at peace. And she said, I forgive the people that did this. Because they had very, very deep faith. And I forgive the people that did this. And the journalists were just shocked. It's like, how can you, they took your son away. They took your husband away. You love these people, you know? And she was like, you know, part of it was like, she didn't want to lose another part of herself. And so by giving that up, you know, by forgiving, she doesn't hold on to it by forgiving. Mm-hmm. And that's like the same story, like the Elie Wiesel story, where he's in front of, you know, he was a Jew during the Holocaust, and the Nazis stripped everything from him. You know, they killed his family. They killed his wife. They stripped his clothes. He was standing in front of them naked. They were burning his manuscript to his lifelong work. He was a doctor. Lifelong work, burning his manuscript. And the last vestige of his former life was his wedding ring. And they took that from him as well. And he said, you know, they told him to give him the ring. And as he took the ring off and handed it to them, and I think we talked about this, it's like, he said, I forgive you. I will not allow you to change my humanity, to change who I am. You will not make me hate you. Now that's like, that is a turning point, right? That is a moment, a defining moment. And I don't know if I could, if I was in that position, if I felt the same, you know, but it helped. That was a defining moment for him to not hate, to see the separation of the behavior from the people. So that's a strong lesson from people that we have, that can, have come before us.
Are you familiar with Corey Ten Boom?
No. Who's Corey?
You need to look her up and listen to some of her. I don't know if you want to call them sermons, but she's one of the most famous survivors of the Holocaust.
In
Christian circles. And her story of forgiveness. It was decades after the Holocaust, and she met one of the guys that was still alive, one of the Nazis.
Oh boy.
And she lost everyone, you know, her whole family. And I'll have to look that up. The story of forgiveness offering this man forgiveness was it's so powerful.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything like it, but she's I would really encourage you to look her up on YouTube or whatever. I don't know how to, their last name is Ten Boom, or if you put in Corey Ten Boom, it'll come up. If you just get,
yeah, I'll find it. Spelling. Yeah, I'll find it. Yeah.
But she's really powerful.
Wow.
Yeah, that'll be a good exercise for me too.
Yeah. Yeah, because you read stories like that, and sometimes it puts our stories in perspective. It's like, oh.
Her family was hiding Jews.
Oh. So she's a Christian herself.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to look her up. Yeah, I know there were a lot of stories that came out of Christians hiding Jews. I don't know if it's her story, but there was one that later they were giving out an award or something, and they wanted her to, this one particular woman, I think it was, to come to Israel so she can get this award for being, you know, a hero for saving people, and she refused. She said, "I'm a human being, you know, I just did what I thought was right. I'm not a hero." So she didn't want the honor, you know, and I think it had might have had a cash value and, you know, all of that. She goes, "I don't want it."
You spell her name Corrie, and then the number 10, T-E-N, and then a separate word is Boom, B-O-O-M.
Oh, cool. All right, thank you.
Yeah, she was Dutch. She lived in the Netherlands.
Oh.
And, the book is called The Hiding Place.
Oh,
and
it's okay.
Very famous. Really, a really famous book. Excellent read. The Hiding Place. I had forgotten about that. And so they had this false wall where they had these Jews hidden away.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to look that up. Wow. Heavy stuff, right?
Yeah.
Gets us thinking, gets us meditative. So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff out there. Yeah, in my notes here, Rumi described there's this place inside of us, you know, where he said that out beyond the ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there's a field, and I will meet you there. It's like a human level, you know. There's this humanness, a human level that we all have, we all share. And so, and forgiveness helps us get there. So,
I didn't see it. I didn't hear a lot of references to forgiving yourself.
I think that will come. So it was just this week was just really about the act of forgiving. But the same thing. If we messed up, right? If we did something unskillful, then, you know, we get into the if onlys. If only I did this, if only I did that. Sometimes it's a mistake that we make in the moment that we don't know. We've all done that. It's like, oh, I didn't know. It's just what I had in the moment, and I made that choice or decision or acted that way. And sometimes we make a decision knowing it's the wrong choice, you know, or acting out of fear or acting out of anger. But to play the what if or the if only game, again, that's just hurting ourselves. So if we could separate ourselves from the behavior at the time, knowing that our awareness has been raised, and turning that around as a teaching moment or learning moment for ourselves, it just makes it a lot more powerful for us. So it's really all about changing the perception and raising our awareness. Now, obviously, if there was some wrong that you could still right, then that's a good place to start. Even in AA, from what I understand, you know, there's one step where I've never gone through AA, but people that I know have gone through it. I think there's a step where they write letters to people that they've hurt, or they at least perceive that they hurt. And so, you know, I guess part of it is seeking forgiveness from others, but really it's the shift has to happen inside. And that's all, this whole work is shifting that perception inside of us. And recognizing, okay, I wasn't skillful there. I screwed up there. But now my awareness has been raised, and I use that as part of who I am. And, you know, it adds to my toolbox. So I know what not to do later, or what not to do if it comes up again. So we'll talk more about that. So when talking about forgiveness, were there things that came up for yourself, forgiving yourself as opposed to forgiving others?
I think for me, it's just a matter of, I just feel like I should be further along than I am in my magic business. And then I kind of gave up a whole year of not, like, When I was at this major crossroads, dealing with my sponsor, who was just being such an immoral a-hole, and feeling like I just really shouldn't be working with him, and deciding to start my business over from zero. You know, I think I was a 4 or 5A at the time. And I had this gentleman, my 6A in my group, his name is Terry, and his wife is named Zell. And they're a sweet couple, and they're Jehovah's Witness, and they're very devout. And so I looked at it as, you know, here's this guy who's exactly my age, and Colton actually found him on Instagram, or he found Colton, and then he went into my business because we were just so much alike and thought, you know, that we would work well together, and we did. We had an instant bonding, and we had a lot in common, and so I did a couple house meetings for Terry to get his business launched, and things were really growing fast. And he was just so disgusted with Colton's behavior, and we were both kind of at this place. Mm. And John was, you know, a long time friend, you know, 25 years that we had known each other through church, and we'd never worked together. And I learned early on, when I was like a 1A or 2A, that John was already a 6A something. I thought, that's kind of interesting. And I never thought about working with him, because I already, you know, I was on the team that I was on, you know. And
right.
And so, you know, here we are, John and I, both Christians, and we're actually conceiving like a scheme that's not even sanctioned by a NAGIC. You know, you can't change teams midstream. You can't sign up your wife on a different leg under a different sponsor. You know, there are things that you're not supposed to do. They were kind of shady. And we went forward with this plan, and Terry said, no, I've got people that I am responsible for. And I had a decision to make. Am I going to stay with this sponsor who I don't respect and don't want to work with? Or am I going to stay loyal to my team and help Terry? And so, you know, I made the decision to walk away from Colton and start this other business and start working with John. And I said, Terry, I'm going to be here for you. I don't care if there's any monetary value, you know, I'll do whatever it takes to help you grow your business. And we did work together for another few months, but it kind of just faded. And then a year went by. Colton became a Christian, changed his whole life, was dating this amazing woman. And then I get this call from him, you know, dude, Terry's blown up, and you know, you're like a few sales away from being a 6A. What are you gonna do?
Right.
And he was kind of aware of what I was doing, but not in any detail. He didn't know that I just cut off all communication. And that's when I sat down with John and told him, you know, what would you do if you were in my shoes? And, you know, we did kind of decided together that it would be best if I give up, just retire that other ID number and go back to, you know, because I was supposed to retire this number, but yeah. I didn't, you know? So here I am, I'm doing this really shady thing. You know, I got these two things going, and my business is growing without me. And so there's a lot to forgive. And so I sat down with Colton and asked for him, for his forgiveness, and he forgave me, but there's ramifications, man. Our relationship is damaged. You know, I don't feel close to him like I did. I mean, we were you know, before he turned into this monster, we were tight, you know, was this young, exciting. He was the head, one of the fastest growing teams around. And then he just went off the rails. And I just feel that there's so much that I need to continue to work on and forgive. You know, I asked Colton for his forgiveness, and he was very magnanimous and gracious and forgave, but we've never been close again.
Right.
And it's, I lost, you know, that whole year. And I don't know what would have happened, you know, with Terry and other people that I would have sponsored, you know, inside. And it's just, I don't feel good about myself, you know. I don't like I'm real. I feel like I'm kind of like an island, you know. I don't really fit in with the team that I'm with. And I don't really, you know, and when I see Terry and Zell, you know, we're very friendly and cordial, but the friendship's gone, you know. I've tried to repair it. I wrote him a sincere letter.
Right, right.
And, you know, tried to repair it. And just doesn't, you know, and over time it might, but I don't know. It's there's just a lot there. It's a thing for me.
No, I see that. I see that. But you made decisions based on things not resonating for you. Because Colton's behavior changed. And so didn't resonate, right?
Do you know who Bob Gradelli is?
Yeah, I know Bob. Yeah.
John is very, very close with Bob.
Yeah.
I think Bob is the reason John's in the business in the first place. That's part of his story.
Yeah.
And I didn't know Bob. I can say hi to Bob, but I don't know him.
Yeah.
And John put me on the phone with Bob before I made a decision about what to do. And Bob, I think Bob's a Christian. I don't know if he is or not, but he just comes across as a Christian.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And
I think he is. I know his sister, and she's you know, has a strong faith. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so he knew the decision that I was faced with. And he said, you know, Steve, if this is a life business, this is for life, if you want it to be, and it sounds like you do. And, you know, I would encourage you to work with people that you enjoy working with and people that you respect and people that you want to grow with and people you want to have in your life for the rest of your life. And, you know, between John and Colton, I thought, well, you know, John's going to probably be in my life for the rest of my life anyway. And
right, right, right.
So that sort of tipped the scales.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if that it was good advice, you know, but, you know, here I am. I undid it, retired that number. You know, I'm Colton all the way, you know, but I got to get it, you know, I just still feel.
So, all right, let me just get this clear. So you retired the second number, you mean, that you created?
Yeah.
Now Terry's under.
I started under my wife with John.
Right.
I just wiped that out.
And Terry's under what? Under Colton's number? Under Colton's line? So you're still, so Terry's still in your group?
Yeah.
Okay. Now
Terry's a 6A going on 6A2, and it will eventually it'll propel me into the dashes and everything. You know,
exactly.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good.
It was the right decision financially for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I sold a few more machines, became a 6A, and now I'm working on being a 6A2.
Right.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, and I've run into this several times, you know, with several different distributors where, you know, I had one who their upline was just their sponsor was just downright abusive to them. I mean, verbally abusive, where it would make her cry,
Yeah.
She would say, I want to work this way. I want to do this. And they would just literally berate her to the point of sobbing in tears, you know, and that just drives people away.
Yeah.
And so she made the decision to leave that team, and she did it the right way. She did it through an edgic and all of that. But she couldn't, it was an abusive relationship and she had to leave. Things changed midstream for you with him. And so you made decisions based on that. And you were, he was the direction that it seemed like he was heading in. You didn't resonate with that. You know,
as I'm reliving this and trying to think through it.
Yeah.
I remember not being able to use him at all for any, I wouldn't put him any prospect in front of him because the stuff coming out of his mouth was so inappropriate. I mean, it was,
I fully get this. Yeah.
I mean, just like, oh my gosh, dude, I can't trust you.
Yeah.
I can't put you on a phone call. I can't use you as a sponsor. It's weird. It was just, strange.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. And with my sponsor too, I mean, I never did three ways with him because our approach is just different.
Yeah.
And cause he can come across as a salesman sometimes. And he just says things that just don't resonate with me and the way I approach my relationship with people. So I just did everything myself, you know, and I just figured it out. And, you know, we were close and we still did demos together. He's a great presenter. He's very funny. He's got a great personality. But it just, everybody's got a different style, you know, and he wasn't doing anything immoral or anything, just the way he came across to people. And we have a lot of doctors in our groups and stuff like that. And people are dealing on different levels of awareness. It's like, he really was, you know, would push the business a lot. And it's like, if somebody's like needs to get better, that's where they are. And that's where you have to attend. You meet people where they are. And so I would never do three ways with him. I would do, you know, just do it on myself. So you made choices in the moment based on that. And it sounds like to me that it was pretty powerful. What you were experiencing was powerful enough to say, this is not good for me. This is not who I am.
Right.
And I can't run my business that way. And so the choice was either, all right, let me join another team where I can get support or just try to figure it out on my own or, you know, and so it's come full circle. I think as long as you stay true to your core and your core values and who you are, your behavior and your approach to it will always stand on its own. And you will gain respect from people by just doing it that way. Now, obviously if what Colton was doing, there were things that were just like, you know, you would never do or never say or never approach it that way. You stuck to your core. You stuck to your faith or, you know, whatever that your core values, your beliefs. And you just saw it a different way. And that different way didn't necessarily work out. Okay, that makes sense. But there was no way for you to predict that Colton was eventually going to find God and find Jesus and marry this amazing woman and change his life. There was no way for you to know that. And so you were doing with, you know, what you had, where you are, you were making decisions that you felt were best for you, right? And it's true. Because you stuck to your faith and your belief system and your core values. So, and just by, you know, just keep doing you the way you're doing you. Because, you could look at it all, maybe it hurt my business, this and that, but in the long run, it propelled you to 6A. It still got you ranked up. It still, you know, you still had an income coming from it. You didn't lose any of that.
Yeah.
What may have been bruised a little bit is the relationships along the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just like you told me, you sat down and had a heart to heart with Colton and you were surprised, you said, by his behavior. But at the same time, I mean, you were seeking his forgiveness, you know, but is he really aware of what drove you away in the first place.
He is.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
So he's very aware. He's, cause I was, you know, there were quite a number of other people that were walking away from him, and it helped propel him to becoming a Christian. He was so, really recognizing what a, you know, that he
yeah
was just living his life in a way that was so
off wrong, the rails. Wrong, so wrong. Yeah. So look at it this way. Maybe Jesus used you to bring him to Jesus by you doing what you had to do in the moment. Because that
no, brought, he did. I mean, Golden told me outright. That was one of the dominoes that fell. One of the, you know, we actually sat at my kitchen table for over 2 hours and wrestled with the scriptures. And I told him why I was a Christian and what I believed in. And we walked through reasons for faith and you know, it was an important evening in his life, you know, and then there were other people that, you know, we were all sowing seeds into him.
Yeah. 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 Let those seeds nurture those seeds. Nurture those seeds. Because I think the relationship, and this often happens too, I see this. The relationship may not go back to the way it was before because both of you are different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could see the shift, the arc that happened in him. And so you're both coming at the relationship or both bringing what you're bringing to the table. You're coming from it at a different angle. So a lot of people say, oh, I want to get back to the person I used to be. You don't want to get back to the person you used to be. The person you used to be learned these lessons along the way. You are the person you are now in the present moment. You can't breathe in the past. You can only breathe in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And by bringing that, okay, you brought your faith to the table. It was your faith, right? Part of your core value, your faith, that led you to make decisions and walk away from him,
mm-hmm.
which then the domino effect was it brought him to Jesus.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you've come full circle, you swung back around, right? You're still, that core faith is still in you. And not only that, but you not only knocked that domino over for him or was part of that energy, but then you had this amazing meeting with him, planting and nurturing the seeds that are in him.
Yeah.
So that relationship is different now. It's not the same relationship. And approach it that way. So approach everything that way, with approach business together that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then Terry, you know, I mean, I don't know what your relationship with Terry is and how that shifted as well. But if he just sees that you know, you're working, you know, this had to happen. Now, you know, I'm not, you know, you don't want to take credit for it, right? But all of this happened. God made this happen for these shifts to happen.
Yeah.
Because you were saying that Terry probably, you said Terry didn't agree with what Colton was doing either.
No, he did not. He did not. He just decided to work without a sponsor.
Exactly. And that was his choice, to work without a sponsor and do it like I did. It's like, I mean, I still had a close relationship to my sponsor, but I did my business my way.
Right. Yeah. He just cut Colton out of his life entirely. He just said, I don't have time for you. I'm not going to answer your phone call. He just went off independent.
Right.
And right. He's just a driver. He's just a hard worker and just went after it.
Yeah. And so
started doing his own home meetings. And
so maybe eventually, you know, that the heart to heart will happen with Terry as well, you know, and explain, you don't have to justify yourself. Just say, I made choices from where I was because this wasn't working and I wanted to work with a sponsor.
Yeah.
You know, you're more independent, so you didn't need that. So you cut yourself. So your decision was just to not work with Colton and do your thing. But my thing was to work with somebody work with my sponsor.
No, I have so much respect for Terry because I tried to have him do exactly the same thing I was doing, where he was going to come over to John's team.
Yeah.
And he just said, No, I've got people at my church that I, you know, I'm bringing it, that I brought into this business, and yeah, there are things cooking here, and it's just too, it's too complicated and too ugly. And
yeah,
and
yeah,
I don't feel right about it. And I,
and he stuck to his core values.
He did.
Yeah. And it's not, doesn't mean that your core values are wrong or different. It's just, they're different. You were, what you were seeking was you didn't want that energy. You didn't want that sponsorship. So, but in the long run, God restored it because, yeah, you went off and you played in somebody else's backyard for a while, but you came back home.
Yeah.
But you came back home with a much different awareness. You came back home and Colton has a much different awareness.
Yeah.
So if you see yourself, if you just step back and see it, the bigger picture of that, God used you as an instrument for that change.
Yep, he did.
So see it for what it is and see your relationship for what that is, to your relationship to it. And let that go. Put that woman, put that incident down on the other side of that muddy creek and just let it go. Put it down, because God worked through you. You know, it's your human side that was like, oh, you know, God worked through you to make this happen. You know, and you still benefited from it.
Yeah.
Because it propelled you to 6A. You've got somebody who's going to be 6A2. You work on another leg, 6A2, you're a -2.
Yeah.
So you still have all of that. And you want people that are self-starters that want to run with this, that you don't have to.
Oh, my gosh. I had 4 Terrys. My goodness.
I know. We all had 4 Terrys. We would be in a different universe. So you keep doing you stick to your core value. Going back to, you know, you breathe your own air, you step in, you know, stay in your own light, and you're going to find the Terrys, because the Terrys are there, and it's just the numbers game, and you go through it and you resonate. You keep resonating at that vibration, the people will come to you. And it sounds like from what, you know, what you're talking about, you know, Ashley and all these people, I've been writing some, it's like, you got some things going. You're bringing people that could be the Terrys.
There's a lot of great seeds there.
A lot of great seeds there. So keep the soil clean. That's what I'm going to say to you. Keep the soil clean and keep nurturing and keep vibrating at that frequency. And then there's another, we could talk about it another time, but it's the same thing with like this structured system of support. There's a plant, there's a Chinese bamboo. And Chinese bamboo, you plant the seed and the soil has to be right, and the sunshine has to be right, and you have to water it every single day. And the first year it grows 1 inch. And you continue with the love and the support and the watering and the nurturing. The second year it grows 1 inch. That's it. It's not big growth here. 1 inch in a year is not a lot. Third year, 1 inch. Fourth year, 1 inch. All of this love and support that you're pouring into it, by the fifth year, it could shoot up 50 to 150 feet in 1 year. That's because the growth is happening where you can't see it. So we call it the rhizome factor. The rhizome, the roots are being built underneath. We can't see that growth. And that's what this work is doing, is we're laying that foundation and getting those roots grown so that, boom, you just keep nurturing, keep nurturing, keep nurturing, and all of a sudden, boom, you shoot up 90 feet. Instead of that 1 year, 1 inch, 1 year, one inch per year, boom, and it takes off.
Yeah.
So that's what this work is all about, is to keep that soil clean, you know, get rid of this energy that's just been taken away from our creativity and our expression, vibrate at that frequency of abundance and love and God's energy and your vision. Just keep nurturing, keep the soil clean, keep nurturing, and then boom, it's going to take off. So just keep at it, because you're in this, and that's why I'm here, to keep reminding you, you've got the Ashleys and you've got the Judes and you've got the people, you know, you got the, you know, the people that you're seeding at Costco, you know, and you're still getting your 15,000 steps a day and all of that stuff. So just keep doing you, keep doing what you're doing. You're on the right track. All right.
Thank you.
All right, man. So next week.
Hey, do you have 2 minutes?
Yeah.
I want you to go to a website called Active Wisdom, plural, activewisdomsplural.com, and look at her products. This is Ashley's website. And then if you have any ideas for how I can help her see a vision of how this all works synergistically, the conga with what she's already doing, I'd love to get your take on uniting.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. Yeah. I love this stuff. Sustainable product, sustainable art. Now she's sourcing these, right? Or is she making some of this herself?
These are things I'm going to discover when I go up to the LA to see her facility.
Got it. Wow, some powerful art in here. Yeah, the collages, the 3D collages that are on here. Powerful stuff. So, yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, I could see, because it's all about sustainable and you know, protecting the earth.
Right.
So the biggest pollution, one of the biggest polluters is plastic.
Yeah.
So right away, that's just eliminating bottled water.
Because I'm trying to paint a vision for her of eliminating plastic bottles from the earth, you know. I mean,
exactly.
Long way to go, but that's the vision.
And the sustainable products are, you know, using glass or stainless steel or, you know, products that you can reuse over and over and over again, as opposed to, you know, you use it once and you throw it away.
Right.
And water, you know, water is the basis of life, everything. So that tree, the tree of life that's in her logo.
I know. I love that.
What is she watering it with? You know, what is she watering it with?
That's a good line.
Yeah. You got to water it. You got to water it the right way. Yeah. So the tie in with there, she's definitely, it's environmental, you know, environmental. So it's environmental health, but it's our environmental health in our bodies, right? As a reflection of the earth. And so how we sustain our health is how we, you know, how do we sustain our planet? Because the planet is an extension of us, right?
Yeah.
Just like the soil, when you plant, the soil biome is very similar. It should be balanced, just like our gut biome. And it's actually very, very, a lot of very similar, you know, tracks of similarity there. But for her, it's all about, you know, if you look at her art, especially, it's like, you know, what are we doing to pollute the earth? What are we doing to pollute our brains? She had one piece that, with the cell phones. Did you see that one where, there's an African-American kid like with his hand reaching out, and there's just like, he looks like he's coming out of the dirt, and there's just cell phones all around. So it's pretty powerful art.
Where did you see that?
Under sustainable art.
Sustainable arts. Okay.
And scroll down. There's a save the date thing, but scroll down. You could see. So, pretty powerful images.
Yeah.
So that would be a way to, and you could really lean into, because Enagic has been awarded some of the highest international awards. Some of the ISO certifications that they got was for.
Oh, that's right. We have a.
Yep.
One of our ISOs, I think it's begins with 14.
Yeah.
Is for environmental.
Environmental, exactly. And so if that's a core value of the business, and that is what Enagic's all about, I think she'll really resonate with that. Because not every company that has sustainable products get that ISO certification.
Yeah.
You know, and for a global company, that's pretty big. It's pretty big. So there, it just shows that the standards of Enagic, their outlook, their corporate philosophies, how they make the machines and build the technology, it's all about sustainable. And these machines last 15 to 20 years. I mean, it's right there is sustainable. Right?
Yeah.
So So it's, I think that'll resonate with her a lot.
Good stuff. Thank you for your feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. I think she'll, yeah. So I'd love to hear about her studio. Take some pictures and stuff.
Will do.
But it sounds, you know, you see about us, like she's, they don't talk about her. Oh, I see. There's a photo. So it must be a team. Oh, there's pictures of her studio there. It's beautiful. A lot of light. In the con, in the, what am I? I guess it's on, right off the homepage. Yeah, if you scroll down, there's an About Us section, and there's a photo gallery below that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm looking forward to going up there.
Yeah. So that's where I would you know, really talk about that point. You know, you're very aware of the environmental impact of plastic, what it's doing to our oceans, what it's doing to our wildlife, to marine life especially. And that's what the core of Enagic is all about, you know, helping the environment. They've got an ISO specifically for that, for being green and sustainable. And then you got, you know, sustaining your health because of all this other crap that's in the environment. Well, this is going to help put your body back in balance, like we're trying to balance the planet. Cool.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's look at the calendar for next week. Cause, so the fourth Wednesday of every month, I'm on the Difference Maker Success Call. That's from 9 to 10. So we can still do, oh, wait a minute. I'm flying out that day. Hold on a second. When is my flight that day? I'm heading to Dallas that day. Let me just look at when is my flight? Oh, it's fine. The flight's not until 4:30. So we could do our session that morning, 11.
Okay.
Where is it here? Let's do week. There it is. So it's Wednesday, the 24th, 11 a.m. Cool, man. So keep doing you. We didn't get to your vision, but next week I wanna go over your vision. Let's go over the details and then action steps, because that's the whole thing. That's how we're gonna keep you moving forward. But you're doing a lot of good stuff, and I think the exercises are helping keeping that soil fertile and toxin free. All right, my friend.
Okay.
So have a good week, and we'll talk next week and do. So it's one lesson. Where are we at? So listen to the CD, the meditation CD. It's number 2, cause we're in the bridge, the gap, the bridge phase. So it's lesson 11. We're on a lesson 11. So do that for next week. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Have a great week.
You too. Enjoy.
Talk to you soon.
Alrighty. Bye.